From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Noah Adams. For the past few years, radio stations around the U.S. and around the world have been transmitting their programs over the Internet as well as over the air. Webcasting was supposed to attract new listeners and increase broadcasters' revenues. But over the past 5 months, hundreds of U.S. radio stations have stopped their Internet simulcasts. NPR's Rick Carr has been looking into the reasons why.
Ted Chittenden is a huge radio fan. He's blind, and when he travels, he listens to the radio almost constantly to get a sense of where he is. Late last year, he upgraded the internet connection in his Phoenix, Arizona home so he could tune into the radio stations that were broadcasting over the net.
It took me a while, but I finally figured out where I could find a lot of stations and how I could get to listen to a lot of different types of stations. Then April came.
Suddenly, instead of radio broadcasts, Ted Chittenden was hearing messages like this.
News Talk 89 WLS has temporarily suspended our live internet broadcast while our streaming infrastructure is being retooled. We apologize for any inconvenience. Please continue.
Chittenden says other broadcasters weren't so coy with the messages that had taken the place of their webcasts.
Due to advertising issues, this station has been forced to temporarily discontinue its stream. We look forward to the day that the stream returns. And I started seeing that on more and more stations.
Hundreds of stations had stopped webcasting. The advertising issue in question was a new contract between advertisers and ad agencies and the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, or AFTRA, a union that represents actors and announcers as well as some employees at National Public Radio. Under the contract, when a radio ad is also streamed over the internet, advertisers owe the actors who appear in the spot an additional fee. Broadcasters said the new fee would further weaken an already soft ad market, so many of them pulled their signals from the internet. The nation's largest radio conglomerate, Clear Channel Communications, ordered several hundred of its stations to stop streaming at once. Representatives of Clear Channel and other large firms would not comment for this story. Officials of AFTRA say the contract was just one of several reasons why radio stations stopped webcasting. Mathis Dunn is assistant executive director of the union. He says another was a mistake a lot of internet entrepreneurs made.
Broadcasters launched into the websites without really thinking through whether or not they had an appropriate business model whereby they could generate revenue.
In other words, Dunn says broadcasters thought they could stream their signals over the internet, build larger audiences, and charge advertisers more. But audiences didn't grow, so advertisers wouldn't pay. Finally, Dunn says broadcasters started to worry that webcasting was going to cost them more than they'd planned, in particular when it came to royalties for music. Radio stations have always paid songwriters for the right to play their compositions on the air. They pay a little more to stream those songs over the internet. In 1998, Congress passed the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, or DMCA, which ordered webcasters to pay another royalty to musicians and record companies for the right to stream their recordings. Radio stations balked, saying the old copyright law had exempted them from paying a performance fee to musicians and record companies. But record labels countered that if firms that only broadcast over the web had to pay, so did radio stations that streamed. Hillary Rosen is president of the record company's trade group, the Recording Industry Association of America, or RIAA.
Music is the foundation of their business, and so it's appropriate for them to pay the artists and record companies whose works they're using.
Broadcasters sued but lost. Now the Copyright Office is setting the amount that webcasters and broadcasters will have to pay musicians and record labels. That could be a lot of money because the royalty is retroactive to the end of 1998. The RIAA has asked for either 0.4 cents per listener per song or 15% of a webcaster's revenues. The American Federation of Musicians and AFTRA support that, arguing it'd be good for musicians. Webcasters, broadcasters, and NPR management argue that that rate is too high. Webcasting trade group the Digital Media Association, or DEMA, has suggested a royalty that's about 30 times lower than the RIAA rate. Jonathan Potter is executive director of DEMA. He says the higher rate would be bad for musicians.
If the royalty rate is too high, the services will not exist, or any services that do exist will be owned by the copyright owners, the record companies themselves. So in fact, the artists will have even less opportunity for indie-style webcasting stations.
By indie, Potter says he means independent, webcasters that play music that goes beyond the tightly controlled playlists of most commercial radio stations. Broadcasters say the new royalty isn't the only aspect of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act that troubles them. The new law also restricts the kind of programming they can stream over the Internet. For instance, consider WGQR in Elizabethtown, North Carolina, on the Atlantic coast. The station plays beach music, mostly oldies and R&B. The station's co-owner, Lee Hauser, says last Saturday, WGQR broadcast a beach party special.
A local artist by the name of J.D. Cash has come up with a pretty good CD and has a number of great hits on there. So we featured J.D. Cash for the first four or five songs of the hour at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon.
Everybody was doing the shag, and Papa had a triple brand new bag. A Carolina boy and Georgia peach, down at Myrtle.
Hauser says the station promoted the special by announcing in advance which of J.D. Cash's tunes would be played. While that's perfectly legal over the air, the DMCA prohibits webcasters from doing it.
That was a no-no. You do not promote the fact that you're getting ready to play a song, because that would tip people off to get ready to record. You don't go through the process of playing songs back-to-back from the same artist. And there's some restrictions like that that border on being ridiculous.
That restriction against playing back-to-back songs by the same artist was intended to prevent webcasters from creating, say, an All Beatles channel, which record companies argued would cut into sales of Beatles CDs. Hauser says between the programming rules and the uncertainty over royalties, WGQR stopped webcasting early this year. Some broadcasters remain enthusiastic about the Internet. Many talk radio stations are still online, and stations with unusual formats are also succeeding, stations that don't play the same songs over and over. WFMU is a freeform, listener-supported station with studios in Jersey City, New Jersey, just across the Hudson River from Manhattan. General Manager Ken Friedman says between 10 and 20% of that station's listeners tune in online. Some of them live where the station's signal is weak, others are well outside the broadcast area and are attracted by WFMU's quirky programming, which on any given day can range from wax cylinder recordings to avant-garde rock. Friedman says Internet listeners have made big contributions when it's pledge time. He thinks that's because WFMU has used the Internet to strengthen the connection between the station and its listeners.
We didn't want to simply be a radio station with a web stream. We wanted to be an online radio station, which means something very different. It means being a radio station where the DJs all have email and all will respond to their email, and where we're posting information about our programming online, and the website is an intrinsic active part of the radio station. So I think we've gone well beyond, you know, what most radio stations have done, which has been simply to throw up a static web page or two or three and put up a stream.
Friedman and other broadcasters say there's another issue looming over webcasting, the cost of Internet access. During the dot-com boom, technology companies were willing to discount bandwidth and equipment, especially for hip nonprofits like WFMU. Now that the bubble's burst, stations are having to pay their own way. Meanwhile, commercial broadcasters are trickling back onto the net. They're using software to remove commercials featuring AFTRA actors from their net streams and replace them with spots recorded just for the web. The Copyright Office will set the new royalty rate for music on the Internet in January. Rick Carr, NPR News, New York.